Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, emotle. I'm Africa, home here, a beautiful African. Good day, good evening, dimela, tobela, molweni, ashe, hotep, sava, assalamu alaikum. Africa, according to the book, The Land is Ours, author Dr. Motsoko Peko, Azania, which is the nationalist name for South Africa. The country was first invaded by the Portuguese colonialists on 1st March 1510. War broke out between the Portuguese and the Khoi Africans, who were fighting with spears, and the Khoi defeated the Portuguese, who were forced to retreat. Now, the period of 1510 to 1994, the year of the first black vote in Azania, South Africa, after the Africans overthrew the apartheid settler minority regime. Africa, that was 484 years after occupation and the African liberation wars of resistance against white colonial and apartheid occupation and oppression. That is 484 years, Africa. To paraphrase the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, yesterday at the Million Man March, according to Genesis chapter 15, it is past 400 years after the Africans were captured in Africa and bonded under slavery in the Americas, that is South and North America. And the minister pointed out, the Honorable Minister pointed out that it is past time America let go the former slaves, pay reparations, justice, or it is past time, physical, both physical and divine time, former slaves should free themselves and let go of the oppressor and bond the global African family. Africa, 484 years, Africa is politically free. It has liberated itself politically from colonial and apartheid bondage. But the big question is, why and what is the problem the majority Africans, this minute, at this moment, live in squalor and poverty? Why? What is the reason? And foreigners own and control and scavenge Africa's minerals and natural resources, of course, in connivance and consent, with consent of the African leaders and governments. So, this turning point, my Africa, we, people of African descent, collectively, globally, simply have to just claim and take over what belongs to us and properly manage it. That's it. There's no more excuse. In Africa, in South Africa, 21 years after the black vote, the majority of Africans are landless. They are jobless. They are destitute. And to quote one cabinet minister, because the governing party had the National Governing Council policymaking conference this weekend, this minister, Natim Ted, goes and says that ownership of the economy in South Africa still firmly remains in the hands of the white minority in the country. I would say to you, my Africa, there in Azania, you are screwed. Because these are people who made decisions with open eyes. They went into sunset clause. They did all. Co-opted, bought, bamboozled, got themselves big house. I mean, you name it. They did it with open eyes, but now they are turning around because the people are rising up and making demands. In Africa, how do you vote these people into power who you see co-opted, sold, and bamboozled themselves to the apartheid white minority economy and families, because South Africa is owned by families, the Oppenheimers, the this, the that, it's a few families. And these families infiltrated the governing party. They were able to buy them all sorts of trinkets. And these guys can't say anything. So whatever radical transformation, economic transformation they're talking about, is lip service. And without your vote, Mafika, there are no bodies. That's why they are panicking, because the numbers are falling. But the question is, Mafika, it is collectively us, both the governing members of the governing party, the opposition, all my Africa. Let's take back the security of our country. Let's take back our individual security. Otherwise, the country is slipping. It's slipping, Africa. And the question is this what we fought and sacrificed for, to vote for? No. And the problem in Africa, Africa, the whole of Africa, we have pimps, we have hustlers, we have salespeople among us who lie to us to set themselves for life. They come and lie to us as leaders. They push themselves hard to be leaders, simply to set themselves for life, rip off the public tax money, live in big government houses, travel in aircraft free, build big compounds, drive big government cars, be they communist or so. No, it don't matter. As long as they're in the big cars, they grab the biggest mining shares, be under BEE, Economic Black Empowerment, Black Empowerment Program. Big everything. And the funniest part of it is that they would come to the shacks or the townships weekends to show off the cars that they've got, the big cars that they've got. And yet you in the townships, in the shacks, the mothers, the fathers, the kids, you made it possible. It is your vote. What you see there is your vote. So, Africa, we are appealing, Africa. We are appealing because how could it happen that leaders facing corruption charges are the ones leading the nation against corruption? How does that add up? The nation is suffering moral degeneration so big, so glaring. We see it in the rising crime murders, the murder rates, the robberies, the car hijackings, because these kids, they see us driving big cars, they want to drive the cars too. They will hijack you, take a gun out, take your car, so that they can drive it in the township and show off, because you have a tendency of going there to show off the car, the big car you've got. And some of the areas are no-go areas, because you know for a fact that if you go in there, more than likely they will take your car. And sometimes you go sell it, because the jobless rate is killing, especially among the youth. So we are saying, Africa, in order to solve this problem, because these crime victims have names. And it's you, Africa. And if it hasn't happened to you, don't you think it's going to happen? It's not going to happen to you. It might happen. So we are saying, Africa, we call you, Africa, to vote and send your own community representative to parliament. And the call is to the police, law enforcement, the churches, communities, especially the police, Africa, in terms of the judiciary and the law enforcement. You have nobody to complain to. And communities have no representative parliament that can push certain things. Like, for example, to enhance police patrols, to enhance police training, to increase the numbers of police, numbers of the police. They have no impact. Councillors, yes, can recommend, but councillors are not the policy making. And sometimes in order to get policy done, it has to go through the party headquarters, the secretary general. Africa, that's not the way to run government. That's why everything is collapsing. And we have the triple tragedies, the triple monster of drugs. It's crime, it's drugs, it's alcohol. A combustion, Africa, explosive combustion. And that's why the numbers of the murders are high in certain communities, Africa. there was an article that said, pointing on some of the provinces where you can easily get murdered. So the appeal is, Mafrika, it's in your hands. You got to vote representative. It can be from any political party that best represents your needs. But we are saying that vote as more Africa first. That way you have someone to speak to directly in parliament to hold that person accountable and to recall that person if they fail to perform or deliver. Simple thing like water delivery, garbage pickup, the issue of load shedding, lights, the issue of rates, paying electricity, paying water. The matter of support for the elders. You have a representative that can go directly to parliament and speak on your behalf. Because you are the owner of the vote, you are the owner of the country, and you are the owner of the money in government, the government money. And my figures, some of these principles have been laid. It's not that we are taking something new. I mean, as early as April 4th to 6th, 1959, His Eminent Mangaliso Robert Sobukwe, the founding president of the PEC, was giving an opening address, inaugural convention. And he pointed out, Ma Afrika, that we, as Ma Afrika, we reject the economic exploitation of the many for the benefit of the few. We accept as policy the equitable distribution of wealth aiming to equality of income, which is the only basis on which the slogan of equal opportunities can be founded. Right there, 1959. So we have seen the minority regime buy outright the minority amongst us, the minority of the governing party. So only a few have become billionaires. We've pointed out this in the past. And the rest of Africa is trickle-down economics, get nothing. In Africa, we are at the juncture, at the crossroads. As you say, that is 400 years in the Americas and 400 years in Africa. Both peoples were oppressed, and we were able to withstand the African insurgency in terms of liberation. We freed ourselves. We are free. Africa is free. And Africa, some of the blueprints were laid down, as I say, as early as 1959. And we can say, as we say, Africa, Sobukwe was saying that Africa, the happy hunting ground. Africa has become the happy hunting ground of adventuristic capital. There is, again, a scramble for Africa. Africa has been wooed with more ardor than she has ever been. There is a lot of flirting going on. Of course, some Africans flirting with one camp or the other. And it goes on to say that in Africa, the wooing occurs at a time when the whole continent of Africa is in labor, suffering the pangs of a new birth, and everybody is looking anxiously and expectantly towards Africa to see, as our people amply put it, ukuthi iyozala nkomoni. What creature will come forth? What creature will Africa give birth to? We are being wooed internationally at a time when brutal attempts are being made to retard, dwarf, and stunt the mental development of a whole people through organized miseducation, at a time when thousands of our people roam the streets in search of work and are being told by the foreign rule to go back home. We have them crossing the seas, from Africa, Mediterranean Sea, from North Africa. Crisis. And in South Africa, the unemployment rate is high. And unfortunately, from Africa, and luckily, the only major employer at the mines, extractive economies in Africa. And 21 years, we've not accelerated the beneficiation where we can locally enhance the value of the mineral resources. But also, the mines are suffering today, as we speak, because the metal prices have fallen. And what we have, Mafike, we've had a few people that were co-opted. As we are saying, that Sobukwe was saying, that we are not talking about the minority, we are talking about the majority, empowering economically the majority, redistributing the economy, the apartheid crimes, apartheid economic crimes, those that got bloody apartheid money, made billions out of us, we are never reparated. The apartheid economy was never redistributed. It was only given to a few select from the ruling party. In my African context of what we've pointed out in terms of Africans here in America and Africans in Africa, globally, with respect to international affairs, Mafika Sobukwe pointed out that Dr. Kwame Nkrumah has repeatedly stated that in international affairs, Africa wishes to pursue a policy of positive neutrality, aligning herself to neither of the existing blocs. But in the words of Dr. Nandi Zazikwe of Nigeria, remaining independent in all things but neutral in none that affect the destiny of Africa. And Tomboy of Africa of Kenya declared that it is not the intention of African states to change one master for the other. Open up your eyes, Mafrika, what's happening today? The consolidation of the African resources seemingly are going in one direction as we speak. And the African majority are not protected. Now, as we are saying, that governments and leaders have become salespeople. They are looking for the dollar, cash money, to give up anything. And there is no invention. So that's the essence of the African case. But as we are saying, that we cannot be lackeys to any other force in the world. That's why we are saying that, Mafrika, you have to stand up and demand that your vote counts. Let's make it in Azania and let it apply all over Africa so that we, the little people, have the last word on our vote. And Mafrika Sobukwe goes on to say that countries which pursue a policy of planned state economy have outstripped in industrial development those that follow the path of private enterprise. Unfortunately, this rapid industrial development has been accompanied in all cases by rigid totalitarianism. Now, this rapid development has been accompanied in all cases by rigid totalitarianism. Africanists reject totalitarianism in any form. Now, they are trying it over their planned economy, all right? But planned economy has to open up. You cannot give it to certain lackeys and stifle development of other people. And there's another aspect, Mafrika, in terms of consumption. We have a technology here that is communications. Communications is a right. And in order to communicate, you have to buy bundles. Like I pointed out the last time, my eminent comrade had to go to McDonald's to go and fill up, to get free time on the internet. Wife. So, planned economy has to target certain areas like health, communication, education. And you cannot outsource these duties. You've got to build internal capacity to be able to deliver these things. And Sobukwe continues from Africa. It says, borrowing then the best from the East and the best from the West, we nonetheless retain and maintain our distinctive personality and refuse to be satraps or stooges of either power bloc. And those that pursue the path of lackeys, being satraps, Mafrika, we're not going to allow it. And we are appealing to you, Mafrika, because some of these principles have been laid down. It's just that they've been swept under the carpet because we have other folks who have their agenda. So we've got to stand up as my Africa. That's why we are appealing to you, because the power of the vote is the power of the state, is the power to dictate resources, the power to deliver to you. And Sobukwe goes on to say that we honor Ghana as the first independent state in modern Africa, which under the nationalist leadership of Dr. Nkrumah has actively interested itself in the liberation of the whole continent from white domination and has held out the vision of a democratic United States. We regard a sacred duty of every African state to strive ceaselessly and energetically for the creation of the United States of Africa, stretching from Cape to Cairo, Morocco, Madagascar. Now, the sense of a common historical faith that we share with other countries of Africa, it is imperative for purely practical reasons that the whole of Africa be united into a single unit, centrally controlled. Only in that way can we solve the immense problems that face the continent. Now, the process of unification is going on, but it's been pushed by other people because they foresee the end, and to that it's an economic strategy. They want to be there. They want to. You have meetings of all the generals in Africa, all the ministers, the governors, central bank governors, all of this. They are meeting the same place in South Africa, Kalanga Estate, just like the governing party was meeting there. Now, you have this concentration of resources becoming a lackey of one force that's standing there manipulating things. Because most countries in Africa cannot even afford to buy plane tickets for their representative to fly anywhere. They don't have planes, as we speak, or aircraft. The question is, these principles have been laid out, we fought for them, and they saw what we could do in the last century, the most unheralded, unreported liberation war of the 20th century. They saw what we do. They saw what's coming. And they are stepping in front of us, but also they are doing it in connivance with certain leaders that are using other forces to step ahead. Like, for example, we have issues where if a liberation movement is about to lose, they go out and buy somebody's technology. In fact, pay that person to bring technology so that they can steal the vote. And that's it. That's what you're facing with. So be careful, Africa, because the kind of, you might think that you are going ahead and pushing ahead because the Pan-Africans, Africanists, are the ones who are pushing a homogeneous state of Africa, United States of Africa. They've been pushing it. These other guys were never, they wouldn't even mention it. But today it's become a fact, and they are using it to advance themselves because why? It's all about what? Cash money. And some people went on, Africa, we admire, bless, and identify ourselves with the entire nationalist movement in Africa. They are the core, the basic units, the individual cells of the large organism, and this is, namely the United States of Africa, a union of free, sovereign, and independent democratic states of Africa. For the lasting peace of Africa and the solution of economic, social, and political problems of the continent, there needs to be a democratic principle. This means that white supremacy, under whatever guise it manifests itself, must be destroyed. And that is what nationalists on the continent are setting out to do. They did it. 1963, OAU, formation of the OAU, and the Africa Liberation Committee. That was it. The Liberation Committee. That was it. Africa has accomplished it. But other people saw what we did with no support from anywhere else. And now they're taking over. And the principle that was pointed out yesterday by His Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that there is no business, there is no reason, there is no excuse to delay our development. Because you look at Ferguson, you look at Indiana, you look at Washington, D.C., you look at Harlem, you look at all the places where there's a conglomerate of African people of African descent, Chicago. There's unemployment, there's joblessness, there's hunger, there's suffering, there's killing, homicides from African murders. African children and kids are shooting one another. And the question is from Africa, which direction? Because the Honorable Minister was pointing out that we've got to have a force at least that will try and clean up our community. But the economic component in Africa, because we own the resources in Africa and they are feeding other people, including here in Wall Street. You go to other communities, they might be non-Africans, but they are in essence African communities because we feed those communities. We have founded countries with our resources as we speak. So the issue of Africa, the resources that we have, I think that's the first step, the battle that we have to fight because we control that. Nobody can take that from us. And we have to get back to the African leaders, our brothers, our brethren, to stop. Just stop it. Because they speak from two sides of their mouth. Today, they talk about economic, radical economic transformation, and when you look, they are running with families. There's an Indian family in South Africa that's running the show. It's running the show because they happen to be friends too. And they come back and talk about the National Democratic Revolution. National Democratic Revolution. There's nothing like that. My Africa, you come first. You are the root of the National Democratic Revolution because you are being invaded in some way, and the country and the principles that were laid by our fathers, four leaders, and the resistance, my Africa, because it goes back 1510, it goes back to 1652, as we pointed out, my Africa. There was always resistance. It was an insurgency. It was moving on. It was never static. So the appeal is, Africa, globally as Africans, especially us, let's put stress on the African leaders. They must be honest. They must be truthful. They must be principled and follow the blueprints. They must not try and bury those that laid the foundation for us. And we're talking about the African nationalist democracy in Africa. It is our contention that true democracy can be established in South Africa and on the continent of Africa as a whole only when white supremacy has been destroyed. And the illiterate and semi-literate African masses constitute the key and center and content of any struggle for true democracy in South Africa. Yeah, we got it. We made it, Africa. We made it. Talk about African nationalism. Sovereignty continues. And the African people can be organized only under the banner of African nationalism in all African organizations, where they will by themselves formulate policies and programs and decide on the methods of struggle without interference from either so-called left-wing or right-wing groups of the minorities who arrogantly appropriate themselves the right to plan and think for the African. That's what we had, my friend. We've got the charter that was written by other folks. And at the critical time, they came up with the sunset clause, forgave everything. Now you have the minorities participating, making programs. At the critical time, they come and say, the sunset clause, forgive the racist regime, forgive the economic crimes against apartheid, apartheid economic crimes, forgive the killers and butchers of our people, and give them reconciliation and amnesty. And that's it. And they keep the money. They've flooded the money out of the country. Huh? And you ended up going to beg them because they bought the few of our leaders. Africa will continue on highlighting some of the principles, especially the Africanist Manifesto. It is a pleasure talking to you, Africa. It's a pleasure, privilege of you listening. And as you say, Africa, isolate. The land is ours. Fasilarona, Tikorahina, Shangolashu. We thank the privilege of talking to you, Africa, and the privilege of listening. And as we say, Africa, it's a global African pursuit. We are liberated. Let's feed ourselves. Thank you.